Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. It is our live edition of the program where we take your real ghost stories live. Yes, every single Wednesday, 4 o'clock Central, as often as we can, we do it. And I want you to call in today and share your story with us if you're listening to us live. If not, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Great ghost stories are on the way.
Welcome. Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 normally, but today when we're doing our live episode, it's 216-446-7810 to share your ghost stories with us live on the air. We would absolutely love to hear them. Dial in. The phone lines are open right now. Need some upgrades to our sound system here for doing the live episodes today. It was kind of doing a different setup. It was kind of archaic, if you will, where I had microphones set up by speakers and all of that on the live episodes. But I decided, you know what? We are in here once a week. We're doing this thing live once a week. We should probably upgrade the way we're set up, the way that we are broadcasting this thing. So I brought in a whole new set of stuff, board, mixer, and everything like I normally do have in the studio. I got another set for in here so we can improve the sound. Just so when you're listening to the podcast and all that, it sounds a little more consistent and more normal. Every time you hear a live episode. So that's what we're doing today. I'm excited that this is our first go-round with it. So, yeah, it's kind of fun, dorky stuff. If you see the new Halloween movie is out. Is it out? Is it out or is it coming out? I know it's been getting great reviews, but I know some of those reviews are based on advanced releases of it. Let me see what the release date is on this. I'm really excited to see the reviews I was seeing with people saying that this is just as good as the first one or right up to the level of there hasn't been one since the original release that has been as good as this one. I'm not seeing if it's released or not yet. I don't know. Okay, October 19th in theaters. So whatever copy they're seeing of it is getting good reviews. I would like to see it. I know there's a couple other interesting horror ones out right now. If you want to weigh in on what any of them were or what your thoughts are on them, go ahead. There's actually a new Nicolas Cage movie, but Nicolas Cage, I know, has a new movie out about every single other week. I don't know what happened to Nicolas Cage, but apparently it's a kind of, people are saying it's going to be kind of a cultish following horror movie, kind of a smaller one, but looks to be quite a performance from him. I remember like when Nicolas Cage like actually was like, oh, a new Nicolas Cage movie, that's gonna be really good, and then just shit went to hell. I don't know what happened. Tony, have you caught season 2 of Ozarks yet? It is great. Yes, we are just getting into it. I think we're about 2 episodes in or so. I do very much enjoy that program, not only because mainly because we live here. And you can kind of, they do a very good reminiscent feel of what it is like here. We're not actually filming Ozark here. Anyway, 216-446-7810, our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to one of these callers right now while we wait for our first caller on the live line to call in. Hi.
Hey, guys, I want to say thanks for the platform, and I got a great story to tell you. I've called a couple times, actually 3 times before this, and I basically messed up and telling my story, kind of nervous and everything, so, and I'm at work, so it doesn't make it any better. But anyway, well, my name's Greg, and I have a great story. Back in the late 90s, I was in the Air Force, and I had a buddy that was in the Air Force with me, and we stayed in the same barracks room. And this is in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And he, even though he was from Korea and I was from Ohio, he had cousins that lived in the area. They lived in Clarksville, Tennessee. Well, his cousins and his cousin's friends wanted to take these big, bad, tough Air Force guys, which was me and him, out in the middle of the night to some old abandoned school out in the middle of the country in Tennessee. And we were down for it. We were down for an adventure. You know, we're tough and et cetera. Well, I had a phone, and that was in the late 90s. So if you remember, they weren't very sophisticated at the time. All it had was a little antenna that pulled up. It did, however, have a key guard. That's significant with this story. Anyway, so we get to this old abandoned school in the middle of the night, and it was creepy. It was very creepy. We've seen a bunch of rolling hills and real old school. And we pulled up to it and we went into the school and we sat in the auditorium for a little while. And then we went up to a stage and got up on the stage and we climbed up the ladder into this like dressing area in the stage. It's kind of hidden and it's a tiny little room and it had pentagrams, it had burnt debris, looked like feathers. I can't really say, you know, it looked like any kind of sacrifice was going on, but, or had gone on, but it reminded you of it. I know there were burnt feathers at the least, and who knows? Well, there were shelves that came out, and that's what they were on, the burnt debris and stuff. So who knows? You know, it may have been kids goofing around, or it may have been something sadistic. Either way, it was creepy, and it set the tone. And my buddy and I, we climbed back down and started talking, and we started getting scared. This feeling came over us, very, very, you couldn't quite put your finger on it, but it was very ominous, I guess is the best word. And we talked and talked until we said, we need to get out of here, because it was real. It was very scary, I guess is the best way to put it.
Did you have it?
So if they took us there to scare us, it worked. We wanted out, we went out, and we ended up leaving the area, went to this little courtyard into another building. And in that little tiny building, there was more graffiti or whatever you want to call it, of evil stuff, like upside down crosses and pentagrams and just curse word, you name it. Again, who knows who put that on there, but it didn't help when the feeling was already there. Did not get any reception. The antenna did not work. There was no reception inside that school or in that area. Now, when we got out, which we did real soon after that, the reception came back. It was kind of weird. So anyway, a couple weeks went by. Him and I decided to go to Nashville, Tennessee one night during the week just to get out and, so we got out and we came back and we get through the guard shack and get back onto the military installation and we get into our parking lot and we're gathering up all our stuff and all of a sudden it hit me. And I don't know what it was. Well, let me explain. We're sitting there getting everything together and this feeling that I've never felt before in my entire life came over me. And it was the worst feeling I've ever had. And looking back on it now, I'm a 41-year-old man now, so looking back on it now, it's like a combination of pure fear, evil, and like a panic attack or something about to happen all at the same time. And I looked over at my friend. He goes, man, it looks like you've seen a ghost. And I go, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Well, I was worried about it because I couldn't tell what was wrong with me. It felt like on the inside of me wasn't right, and I couldn't explain it. And the feeling kept growing and growing and growing, and something told me to, you know, check my phone. Now, my phone, before we left for Nashville, I held the key guard down for 4 seconds to set the key guard, because those phones back then, if you didn't do that and it accidentally called some number or something, it would give you roaming charges and it would be very expensive. So I never forgot. I was an attention to detail Air Force type of guy. I never forgot to press the key guard. So I had that key guard set. However, when I pulled the phone out during that moment in time, I looked at it and it said calling. And that was impossible, because the key guard would have had to get hit for 4 seconds, lift it up, and then a 4-digit code would have had to put in my code to unlock it. And it was calling, so it just freaked me out even more, and I was so scared. I looked over at him, and I pressed the power button twice real quick to end the call, and I looked over at him, and I just didn't know what to do or say. So once again, something told me to check. So I go to my phone, I go to recent dialed calls, and it said the last dialed call was 666. And it changed me. Obviously, it changed the way I thought that night. It freaked me out. I was so scared, and my friend just tried to tell me it was a coincidence, and I don't know how much of a coincidence that could have been with the fact I had that feeling come over me right before that. And me knowing everything I know now in my life, that was something that was not good going on. So my assumption is something, well, I want to know what you guys think, but I thought that something latched on to us or me when we were at that school. And the fact he was trying to introduce me into spirituality and everything else might have been a beacon too or whatnot, but either way, it wasn't good, because that feeling overcame me, and then that happened. And I guess it isn't impossible that that could happen. You know, I could have leaned on something for 4 seconds and then hit 666 and hit send all in my pocket somehow, but I really highly doubt that would ever happen. Not to mention, the feeling came over me that I was going to die almost before I even knew that. So that's the part that's unexplainable. I want to know what you guys think. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. You guys have an awesome show, and finally got a good story out. The last two times I messed up. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your experience with us. Could you have hit it, you know, pocket dial that? Sure. But the fact of the feeling of you feel like you're going to die, that's not, you know, that's not like necessarily a normal experience or feeling that a lot of us get as we're going throughout our day, just like going down, checking this out, checking that. I feel like I'm going to die. And a hamburger. A hamburger sounds good too. Possibly a taco. But death, it's probably in that mix somewhere. So yeah, I think there was definitely something that got to you in a very serious way. Let's go to a caller at 832. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Christina, hang on one sec for me so I can turn your volume up and we can hear you better. Christina, you got a ghost story for us today.
Yeah, well, I'm from Houston, and we live about maybe 20 minutes away from Galveston. And many years ago, we used to go ghost hunting with little groups that were there, and we enjoyed going on ghost tours. And Galveston's pretty haunted, so we always would, you know, experience things here and there. But one night, a ghost tour caught our attention, and we decided to try it out. And we ended up on, you know, on several cemeteries there in Galveston, and we walked through them and whatnot. And after we came home, you know, everything was fine. There was, you know, it was a fun time, whatnot. And as the days went on, at that time we lived in a two-story townhome, and my kids were still in elementary. And so, you know, my kids started fighting downstairs at one point because one thought the other one was pulling his ear, and the other one thought the other one was pulling his hair. And it was really neither one of them. They weren't touching each other, but they kept blaming each other because they felt tugs at their ears or at their hair. And, you know, there was times when they would go to my parents and their toys would be up in the closet, and suddenly they would start going off. And when I'd walk upstairs, they were on the floor. beds that I would make in the morning would be unmade. There was a time after everything happened, we noticed that as we would walk upstairs, you know, you felt a lot of like pressure and just weird chills as you started walking up the stairs into my kid's room. And, you know, we would hear like the toilets flushing. It started getting really, really active. And it scared me for a while because my kids also heard noises and they're upstairs, like heard people knocking on their window. And it wasn't, you know, obviously it was nothing because they were upstairs. But to me, the scariest part, and I don't know if maybe we brought something back because we never experienced anything there. We had been living there for several years, and it just so happened after that, because we know we don't ever go to the cemeteries. It was the first time we ever actually went to the cemetery. We always went to the houses in Galveston, but never walked around. And so I was asleep. Well, I was trying to fall asleep, and my husband was in the living room, and I kind of, like, I always sleep with the Bible open. There's a psalm that always, it's always just been something since I was a little girl that we've always done, and I still do it. And my Bible pages started turning slowly at first, and I looked thinking maybe it was the fan blowing them. And then as I looked up, it was blowing. I mean, they were flipping super duper fast, like someone was flipping them pissed off, and they slammed the Bible closed. It was just me in the bedroom, and after that night, my kids started seeing a black cat in their room, and we don't have a cat. We didn't have animals at that point in time, and I just don't know. I feel like we brought something back from the cemetery, from one of those cemeteries, after that night, because nothing ever happened to us in that house, you know? And we stopped after that point because it became really scary because we started also hearing doors slam and whispers and growls at night. And we eventually had to move. We told our landlord, you know, this is what's going on. And I'm guessing he was a believer because he was like, I understand. And I'm going to bless the house as soon as you guys leave. And I was like, okay.
And then rent it out to the next victim.
I know. But I guess, you know, I don't know. I've never had anything follow us. I don't know how common that is. And, you know, after that, we had another baby and we just pretty much stopped because I didn't want to bring anything back. But it's just something that we've always enjoyed doing. But that's the first time that ever happened to us.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. We would do the sweet oil blessings all over the place.
I would say, I mean, obviously, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, things following people are fairly common. That's not a unique thing to have happen. It happens quite frequently. As to how and why, I mean, that kind of varies by the case and to why it came along with somebody when you were somewhere. Sometimes it's very, just docile. It's just kind of there. Sometimes it can be fairly malevolent. It just really depends exactly what it is. When I think of Galveston, I think of going to the beaches, not necessarily to the cemeteries. But there you go. We were down there this summer, and I will say I agree. It was my first time to Galveston, and we went to the beaches and we went to downtown, and that's pretty much it of what we checked out. And there's a lot of places in that town that kind of give off odd vibes. I will definitely give you that. We had a fun time, but
Galveston is very.
Yeah, I wish I would have. I tried to get some more information while I was there about it. And there's a lot of things in the South where I'm running into brick walls when I'm trying to get like information on ghost stories and things of that nature of local haunts. And a lot of people don't like to talk about it very much down there. And I don't know why. I had the same issue in like Mississippi and some other places where people are just kind of like. No, I mean, it was just the wind or something. They're not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why, what that is or why that is, but
we know a lot of houses.
Yeah. I mean, some folks are totally open to, but it just seems like a more of a closed subject, if you will, in the South. I don't know why. Anyway, thank you for the call and thank you for sharing that story with us this afternoon here on the show. Phone line is 216-446-7810 to share your ghost story with us. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello? Caller that is anonymous, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And they're gone. It was a ghost. See, I can't say with the area code of where you're calling from to cue to you that it's you, even though you've been on hold for 7 minutes, because you are anonymous. Don't worry. I never give out a phone number on the air, so you don't have to worry about necessarily being anonymous. If you want to call in, just dial this up, and we'll get you on. 216-446-7810. Phone lines are open right now for live calls. If you'd like to share a real ghost story with us, we would absolutely love to hear it. And remember, too, when you are on the line with us, listen through your phone. Do not listen through your speakers, because if you listen through your speakers on your computer or your device, you're going to be getting a good delay of roughly about 20 to 30 seconds. So it's rather important to listen that way. Again, phone line, 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10. When you call in, you're probably on hold for a little bit of time, so just hang on there, listen to the show, and we will get over to you as soon as we possibly can. And like I said earlier in the show, you call in and share a ghost story with us today, I'm going to put you into the drawing to win a copy of the book. But I will need your phone number, so don't anonymize your, is that even a word, anonymize your call? Because otherwise I can't call you back if you win the book. So anyway, get you somebody in on that here at the end of the program today. 216-446-7810, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your ghost stories with us. I got to adjust my volume so I can jump over here to one of these calls. Let's go to this one. Hi. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hey, what's going on, Tony? First and foremost, I want to say I love you guys' show. It's dope. I listen to it at work, man. Makes my day go by way faster. All right, so I guess I'll just get into it, man. This story, I guess, is, something that happened. Why not? I guess it's something that happened. Something that happened to me about 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. This is what my ex fiance at the time. I believe she was haunted. Just from everything that happened, you know, when I recount all the experience that happened to me, I kind of came to the conclusion that I feel like she may have been haunted, but I'll just, you know, get right into it. Well, first, let me give you a little back history on her, actually. My ex-fiance is Native American, traditional Native American. Her and her family go to sweat lodges. They're really Native, super Native. So my ex-fiance, she was raised by her mother raised her, and when she was a child, her mother was into a bunch of crazy stuff. Still to this day, her mother is kind of weird, but she was into a bunch of crazy stuff. She used to be what you call a healer. She used to practice medicine and so on and so forth. And also, while she used to practice medicine, she used to take the bad energy or bad spirits or so on and so forth away, or bad luck, whatever you may have it, that certain individuals will call her and ask her to, you know, to relieve them from. And so she would take these negative energy or these negative spirits, and she would put them into my fiance, which she believed was a pure vessel. She would use her as a vessel. At the time, my fiance was only 9 years old. Now, this is her mother telling me this. The whole time she's telling me this, I'm just looking at her like, okay. Now, the whole reason why she was telling me this was because I was being afflicted by whatever it was that was surrounding her daughter. Now, before I met her daughter, I have been, my whole life, I've kind of been into the paranormal. But those are a bunch of other stories I can tell you another time. But when I moved in with my fiance, I never had any of the issues. Before that, prior to that, my life was fine. I was doing just good. I was training to be an MMA fighter. Everything was going good. It was just living a normal life. Once I moved in with my fiance, is when everything began to just go haywire. So I can tell you one of the first experiences I had. One night I was coming home from a friend's house. It was pretty late. It was about 11 o'clock, 11:30. I was coming home. I walk into the house. Usually when I come in, when I come into the room before I get into bed, she doesn't like the smell of smoke on me, so I'll go and brush my teeth and wash my face. So I'm on my way to the bathroom, and in order to get to my bathroom, I had to walk past my bed. So once I got past my bed, I seen that my fiance was laying there in bed. She had the covers over her. Now, once again, she's Native American, so, you know, she had super long hair. And at this time, you know, she had probably just, I was thinking she had done her hair and it was just a little frizzy. So I seen her outline, her silhouette of her hair. I actually glanced over and looked at her and we made eye contact. And she looked at me and I kind of gave her a look like, oh, okay, I'm going to be quiet because I didn't want to bug her. So I went on with my business, brushed my teeth, washed my face, came back to the bed, and I decided that I just didn't feel like laying down at the time. So instead of me laying down, I just took my phone out, sat on the edge of the bed, and just played a couple games on my phone. Now, while I was playing a couple games on my phone, I could feel her, you know, tossing and wrestling, turning in the bed. So I turned my phone down, and, you know, I didn't want to wake her, you know, being polite. So continue to play the game on my phone, and about 5 minutes, 10 minutes into me playing the game on my phone, I can hear something going on in the closet that was adjoining to our bathroom, which I couldn't see. I can just only hear it. So there was something going on, some noises in there going on. I didn't pay any mind. It continued. So now kind of started wondering, like, what's in this closet, you know? So I tried to ignore it, though. But more noises came. And then the door opened up. And this is what really freaked me out, because the door opens up. So I'm expecting, like, I don't know what to expect to come out of this closet, you know what I mean? So here I am, sitting on the edge of my bed, waiting for God knows what to come out of this closet, and out comes my girlfriend, my ex-fiance, excuse me. She comes walking out of the closet. I looked at her, she looked at me, and I just took off. I didn't know what to do. I hadn't experienced that before. I just took off. Once I got to a safe distance outside of the house, I calmed myself down, try to, you know, collect things and think rationally. But I know for a fact that what I seen was her in the bed. It may not have been her. It was something that looked like her for sure. We made eye contact, which was the creepiest thing. And after that, she called me about 5 minutes later. She calls me, asked me what's going on, why'd I leave. I told her what happened. She said that's, you know, she whenever these situations came up, all she could say was just like, wow, you know, she never had an explanation for it. It was just pretty much used to it, because I guess this had been going on all her life, you know? So, after that experience, I kind of was, freaked out, but I wasn't going to let it beat me. This is my house. I live here. I'm not going to let this thing drive me away, you know? So another experience, I can tell you something that happened. Once again, I was coming back from my friend's house. When he dropped me off, I went to go open my front door, reached in my pocket to grab my keys, unlocked the front door. Now, when I went into the front room, when I went to open the door and step into the house, something grabbed my shoulder and completely stopped me in my tracks and turned me around completely. And when that happened, I felt a sensation like walking through a spider web. Like, you know how you walk through a spider web and you get it on your face and you try and get that spider web off your face? Yeah, I don't know what it was. I felt that sensation, so I tried to get that off my face at the same time being spinned around. And once all that kind of passed, I just like shook it off and instantly ran upstairs into my bedroom, woke my woke her up, my fiance up, and told her what happened. She once again just kind of looked at me with this, you know, puzzled yet not surprised look, and just told me that, you know, that I don't need to be afraid of it, that I just, you know, don't let it get to me, and that basically, you know, this is something that she's always been dealing with. Once again, this was always her reaction to this. Now, the reason why I say she was haunted was because this was only happening when I was with her. I would have nightmares, crazy nightmares. Once I had a nightmare, I was sleeping in bed, laying in bed. She was laying in bed also. All of a sudden, bed starts shaking. She gets turned over, and something tries to drag her out the room. I grab hold of her, and I'm trying to pull her back into the room, back and forth into the room, and something just overpowers me, totally grabs her out the room, and slams the door shut as she drags her screaming out the room and says, "She's mine," in a crazy, deep, guttural voice. I actually wake up. I'm like, I'm a mess. I'm trying to explain to her what's going on. I wake her up. She, you know, kind of tries to console me, and, you know, eventually I end up falling back to sleep. But that's just an example of the things that would happen when I was with her. We would, you know, lights would turn off. Crazy, weird things would happen. When I would go back to my dad's house, I would be just fine. No nightmares, no bad dreams, no voices, no nothing touching me, no anything. And so, that's just like one of my very many stories. I do believe she's haunted. We've been broken up now for a while, but I have very many more stories. If you guys want to hear more, I will hope that you guys would like to. Hope you guys like my story. I love you guys' show. Thank you again.
I would like to hear more stories, and I'm very curious if the paranormal and these events had anything to do with the breaking up of the relationship there. Certainly it does sound there's something following her. There's some sort of attachment going on without a doubt. Let's jump over here to another caller and hear your ghost story. Caller at 661. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Heather, and I'm actually truck driving in Oregon right now. I'm originally from California.
All right.
But I actually called in last week.
Okay.
I called in last week about lucid dreaming and whatnot, but I wanted to go ahead and go on to something else.
Sure.
This was actually, I'm driving all year round and whatnot, I see a lot of things. One, namely, that I still have, like, no idea how to explain, was about, I would say, about 2 years ago, and I was just north of Las Vegas. I just drove into the Moapa Reservation. And while I'm going down, it's pitch black, but I mean, I'm not tired because I just started driving, and I see something in the road. It looks like a coyote, so I start going on ahead, slowing down and whatnot. And while I was slowing down, I actually saw what looked to be a coyote standing up on 2 feet and basically look into humanoid type shape. The thing is, though, is that there's no detail. It was all as a, as basically just a big old black shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm still, like, wondering what it was today, to this day. But it's like, I can't say that, you know, my mind's just seeing things or whatnot, because I actually acknowledged it. I actually saw it. I started slowing down because, you know, I thought it was an animal, and that's like my biggest fear is like hitting an animal because, I can't live with that guilt. But when I saw it, and then I saw it change into basically like a person walking across, I'm like, okay, that's not normal.
Well, certainly not. I mean, what happened once you saw it get up on its hind legs and start walking across the street? I'm assuming, you know, you're still going down the road, but what was the rest of your view of this thing?
Well, the thing is that it was basically, I saw it pretty much come onto the highway because I was going north on the 15.
Mm-hmm.
And And while it was going, pretty much as soon as it was going to the right shoulder, then it just disappeared. It evaporated. So I'm like, huh, okay. I'm not crazy. I just woke up. You know, I'm not tired at all, and I'm just totally baffled. And but it's not the first time. I've noticed actually, whenever I go around areas that are more native lands, because I was going through Montana one time, and I believe it was the 94. I could be wrong. And pretty much I was passing through the area where there was the Battle of Little Bighorn. Mm-hmm. And all you could see just going across, I was able to see all these orbs just going across the highway and just into nothing kind of deal. Because it was in the middle of the night. And again, I was up for maybe like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was just seeing all these things just floating on by and whatnot. I'm like, okay. It's happening again.
Do you consider yourself to be a sensitive person where you pick up on things where other people are not? Or do you think that when you're seeing these things, others around you would as well easily?
Well, honestly, I would actually say that I am more on the sensitive side. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, it's just I get the feelings that not many other people would get. Like like I have so many stories, but there was this one time I was with my cousin. She's highly sensitive as well, and for some reason we were investigating this one campground because we were fixing it up, and we knew that it was really haunted. And we were in the horse barn taking photos and whatnot, and just like this urge just to go turn in one direction and take a photo of like the window. And it just hit me, and I just had to do it. So I went on ahead, took a picture. Not long after that, my cousin was going through the pictures, and just... I call it my money shot, because it was just the most amazing thing ever. But right outside this window, all of these spirits just looking right at you. And there's this one that I saw, but my cousin couldn't see, of this red face just right down in the corner. And I was the only one who was able to see it.
Okay.
And I told my cousin, hey, you know, it's right there. Like, I was pointing right at it, and she's like, I don't see anything. So I was like thinking back, because we were in one of the camp houses for the counselors, probably about a half an hour before, and we were just sitting there trying to do EVPs and whatnot, and we weren't able to catch anything. But while we were sitting there, I saw a red orb, kind of an orb, more like a flash of light, kind of moving one corner. And I asked my cousin, hey, you know, did you see that? And she was like, see what? And I'm like, didn't you see that that little red flash? And she was like, no, I didn't see anything. You know, but pretty much with that, but she was able to see, there's a little girl there. It's the camp itself was on grounds that had kind of a bloody history.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little girl there that would hide in the closet. And she was the only one who was able to see it. I wasn't able to because spirits, they tend to, I guess you could say, your vibes attract the same vibe kind of deal.
Okay.
You know, if you have a certain vibe, then whatever pretty much is kind of near that vibe will be attracted to you. You know, and just so that. Spirit of the little girl was attracted to my cousin, and whatever that thing was attracted to me. And so it's like, it's really weird when you think of it, but it is a very possible thing.
Yeah, I kind of have the as you explain that, it makes sense for what we're talking about. I have this the whole kind of theory on the sensitivity level of things, where it just is like, there's people on a 1 to 10 scale of hearing, where some can pick up a dog whistle and others, you know, can barely hear the person next to them. I think it's the same thing with being able to sense ghosts or paranormal or things of that nature or energies that are around us that we can't see. Some of us are just kind of ones where it's like, I kind of get an eerie vibe in this room. And the tens are like, I see a whole pack of people sitting at the end of this bar that you're sitting at that aren't really there. And I can hear their conversation. And then there's kind of everything in between as well. But I think the point that you make is also quite valid, because there's been a lot of stories that point to it as well, where some entities seem to have the ability to show themselves to some, and like they can turn it on and off to whoever they want, almost, regardless of what level of sensitivity the other person or the living might be on. Or maybe the living needs to be at a certain level for that to even work. I don't know. But it's just one of those things where the more we talk about it, the more confused I am. You know, you go into this thinking, I'm going to figure this shit out.
Yeah. Exactly. Nothing is black and white. It's just a continuous kind of reel. It's like how Doctor Who's, you know, it's a wibbly wobbly, timey wimey kind of stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us this afternoon. Safe travels.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right. We appreciate it. All right. I think that's probably going to wrap up our live episode of Real Ghost Stories Online for today. But we definitely appreciate you guys tuning in and being a part of the show and calling in. If you called in, thank you so much for that. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Every single Wednesday, 4 o'clock Central, we do it live on Facebook and on YouTube. I have it streaming on both places. So whoever you like to watch us on one of those channels every Wednesday, 4 o'clock Central. Let your friends know. And we'll see you again very soon. For Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening.